And then all of a sudden, splash, like there goes the third rock. Like, and I happened to look up in time to see like the displacement of the water from the rock and the spray. And I was like, okay, wow. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go. So, you know, that was those second two rocks were more in like the softball or little, maybe larger size.
Tricia Brown is back again, and we talked Bigfoot last time. You did a video, and the video is where the rocks are being thrown. Not only was it your birthday, but that's a fascinating interaction of what does it mean? Have you figured that out yet?
Thanks for talking about that. Yes. So I have actually recently, in the last, I don't know, like months, I've been able to have a couple big puzzle pieces more with my experiences. And one of them is about the rocks. It's just curious, you know, like when people on the different podcasts, they're sharing some of their knowledge. And because they are having like direct communication with the Sasquatch people, I kind of tend to tune into what they have to say because it's, you know, really fascinating. So she was a guest on the Pork and Beans podcast, and he was mentioning that the smaller rocks mean this and then the larger rocks mean that. And so when I was thinking about my experience, the one that was in 2020, the first rock was a little plunk, you know, into the water. You know, it was just, you know, I was about to start reading my book, and the book that I was reading was Kawani Laparatus's book about the interdimensional Sasquatch. So I thought, yeah. I think that's also like really interesting, the timing of that. Okay, so yeah, it was like a plunk into the water, a smaller sound. And then I was like, what is that? And then I thought it was going to be maybe an animal plopping into the water. And I was thinking I was going to see a head, like a little otter or beaver head swimming around over there. Nope, nothing. And I was like, wow, that's trippy. Okay. I mean, I could see like if maybe something, if you're near a bank, like a really steep bank, and you know, there could be like a small, like landslide or something, right? Where all of a sudden there's a rock falling, plunking into the water. But it wasn't like that over there. And there was nothing swimming around in the water. And I was like, that's interesting. And then I looked back down, I was sitting really close to the edge of the Tobacco River. And I looked back down to start reading. And then all of a sudden, splash, like the second, this bigger rock, like right out in front, like on the other side, you know, the closer to the other side of the bank. Whoa, it stood me up, man. I was like, I stood up so fast. Like I was like, what just did that? And so looking around, and there is no way any human could have thrown that rock that far from where the trail was. In my gaining knowledge about, you know, when you're in the moment of having a paranormal experience or a mystical experience, or, you know, there's a ghost right there, or you're like in the moment of it, what do you do? How do you handle it? And so I was like thinking that, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to ask out loud to the space. Do you not want me here? Am I bothering you? Do you want me us to go? You know, this kind of stuff first. And then I was like, can I watch you do that? I thought, oh my gosh, wouldn't it be amazing if like me asking like that would then maybe watch them materialize like right on the other side of the bank or something and be like, okay, here, and then plunk it into the water or something. I don't know. I was just like happy that I remembered in the moment to acknowledge and say something. So I said, can I watch you do that again? Will you do that again? Is that okay? You know, type thing. And then I was kind of getting a feeling, you know, like a feeling of, okay, I don't know what I'm feeling here, but it was, I'm not sure if I should stay or, it was just a kind of a feeling that was coming up in me, not fear, but just of, I'm not sure how to take this. So I thought, and this all happened, you know, in my mind, like quick, and then like a couple seconds, and I looked down, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go. And then And then all of a sudden, splash, like there goes the third rock. Like, and I happened to look up in time to see like the displacement of the water from the rock and the spray. And I was like, okay, wow. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go. So, you know, that was, those second two rocks were more in like the softball or little, maybe larger size. And so, you know, different things that I've thought of is that, you know, could have been just a juvenile just playing with me, you know, like messing with me. It could have been them saying, you know what, you should go now. Like, because like right before that happened, I saw a beaver or an otter or something on the other side of the river upstream a little bit. And then right after I saw the beaver otter, there was a deer behind me, like snorting at me. And I was like talking to the deer. Hi, I'm Trisha. I always introduce myself. This is Manny. My parrot was with me. This is my dog, Lucy. Hi. And I mimicked a little bit of snorting. And then I just let it, I'm like, I'm just going to turn back around and go back to reading my book. And so then right after that, the rocks. And so then it's kind of like, is there some shape shifting going on? Are they checking me out through the animals? I mean, there's just, that was kind of something I haven't mentioned yet, but that I've thought of too, you know. So was maybe a bear nearby and they were just kind of like wanting, you know, kind of gently saying you should go because a bear's nearby or something. I don't know, but I didn't, it was definitely nothing to be threatening. I mean, if they wanted that, they could have just lined it right, like right at my head, you know, this completely took me out. And that wasn't what was going on, but I felt like I was, that they gave me an answer was, it made me feel like I should go, I guess. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to go. Like it was a pressure almost feeling. I don't know. But, so it just kind of made me think about it. Like as far as her saying that maybe the smaller rocks mean to try to get your attention, which it did, it got my attention because, you know, I'm a type of person that, I mean, I'm not perfect, but I do seem to notice subtleness, subtle sounds. Because I'm tuned in and I enjoy, you know, noticing the birds and the, you know, the animals and their environment. And I'm open for having an experience with the non-physical. So the little kaplunk definitely got my attention. And then it was like, so, okay, so they got my attention. And then what does the second and third, bigger rocks mean? You know, so it just is interesting to me to like add that to the possibility of, oh, okay. Yeah.
When you said you had that other sensation, that pressure of, oh, this is uncomfortable, that it might have been, you know, was there anybody else? Did you see any other humans out there? So that could also have been a warning that, hey, your environment isn't as secure as you think right now. So here, we're just trying to give you a nudge. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's that. I mean, I felt very safe. That area, as far as human beings out there, is super safe. I wasn't thinking that. I think it's maybe possible that's a space that they like being in. And maybe they were like, hey, we were going to be doing something here and now you're here. But I just, in my experiences, it's never like, anything even slightly on the negative side, but there was definitely a feeling of maybe I was feeling a presence, you know, because sometimes when you're trying to figure out what are you feeling right now, maybe they were around me and I was feeling a presence, but I couldn't see them because, you know, when the rocks were thrown, the second two, I mean, they could have been way up on this ridge and aiming super good, like a lob, ka-splash right in that spot twice. Or he could have been like right on the other side of the bank, plopping it into the water. I'm not sure. So maybe I was just picking up on the presence or the presences of them. I'm not exactly sure, but I definitely felt like we're going to go now, you know, type thing.
The other thing that people have mentioned is sometimes there is a portal nearby, and this is a way of warning you, saying you need to get out of this space because, as you mentioned a minute ago, things are happening here and you're kind of in the way.
Could be. So, okay, so let's talk about that. So what do you mean? Like, if there's a portal, if there is a portal nearby, does that mean like they're trying to exit and enter and I'm in the way of it?
Enter and exit. Yeah, enter and exit. And maybe that energy isn't beneficial to you, or they would prefer not to be seen. And, you know, in some way that they're trying to make a clear space. But yeah, that's some of these other conversations have talked about. And I've been around portals for ghosts. If they're trying to maintain that invisibility, then you being there for their presence isn't necessarily it seems like it had more to do with trying to get you gently encouraged, motivated to leave. that's it. But that because something, like you said, there's something else going on, something happening, and you're in the space. Or it could be that they're, you know, they also are known for hunting. And so if there are animals and that's what's going on, or even picking berries and you're in the hot spot, well, guess what? This is a nice way to say, excuse me, please tap, hello.
Possibly. I mean, I'm open to these different things. I mean, it was like August is a time of the year where I was starting to hear the locals mentioning that there was more bears being sighted. So maybe they were letting me know that a bear was, you know, that trail that I was on to get to where I was at on the river, I've been told that bears have been seen on around that trail. So, okay. I mean, I think it's possible, like I said before, that maybe they were shape-shifting around. I don't know. I just, it was just a very, you know, seeing the deer and the beaver, like right close together, then the rocks right after that area, I really wanted to go to. I mean, I had walked on that trail many times, looked over, saw that place on the river, this S turn. It just seemed really, really special. And I wanted to go over there. So yeah, maybe it is a extra special spot. And they're like, hey, this is our special spot.
Got the video. So it gives, you know, for anybody who's listening, it gives them an idea, a viewer, to see what that space is like that you're talking about.
Yeah, definitely. So then, you know, so that one was, and then, so like 4 months ago or so, I was walking along the Cahaba River in Alabama, and it was more like smaller rocks, like let's say the size of, you know, kind of like maybe a golf ball-ish size was like, basically I feel that I was also near a river at that time. And I feel like they were on the other side of the river and throwing them way up in the air to go up above these really tall, skinny trees to then land in the spot to ricochet through the tree. I mean, I could hear bing, bong, bing, you know, as the rocks were hitting against the trees and thudding to the ground near me and my dog and my parrot. And it was like three times, four times, five times. And I was like, oh my God, those are rocks. And so I yelled out, hey, stop throwing the rocks, you know, like kind of just gently. And then at the same time as I was hearing the rocks, I was noticing, I realized I was hearing what I think was like a drumming. I mean, I was hearing like a hollow sort of hard plastic sort of thump, like thumping against something at the same time as the rocks being thrown. And so I was thinking that, you know, as I started, you know, as I realized it, you know, when you're in a moment and then you kind of go back after a little bit and you're like, oh, wow. So to me, the fact with all these is that they are letting me know that they're there. You know, they don't have to. That's one of the things that makes me feel really the good side. Like it's always this, you know, the good feelings that they could just do nothing and I would just walk right past and not, like have no clue. and it was letting me know that they're there. So I was like, wow, you know, okay. You know, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to move back up to Alabama, farther up into more of the higher elevations to be back around where they more are. I was really happy about that they were letting me know that they're there to continue our, you know, connection. So, and that was, you know, that was nice. So that was one of the things. And then here's another thing. I haven't talked about this yet. Because I'm just like having I had this realization. So one of the things that I do is I do distance healing with color and sound therapy, where I can do this work on a person. They could be anywhere, and I can be in my state. They can be in their state, and I imagine that they're laying on like a massage table, and I use tuning forks and color that corresponds to the chakras or the energy centers. The tuning fork corresponds to the chakras. And then I use like a sacred tone that's like a vowel sound that corresponds also to the chakras. And it harmonizes and repatterns the energy centers, and it releases energy out that doesn't go, that doesn't harmonize with the harmony of the sound and the color in the body. And so I've been doing this for some years. And so one of the tones, one of the vowels is in the heart chakra. It's the sound of ah, like that. Mm-hmm. A-H. Okay. And so, okay. So just recently I was like, oh my God. So I'm looking back through my color and sound book, and there's a chart where it kind of goes down like through the chakras, like the color of each chakra, the tone, the tuning fork. Is it an F or a G, you know, type tune? And I realized that, okay. So I have to like add some back information. Okay. So in my experiences with the tree people, I like to call them the tree people, that I started hearing their vocals in 2019. So in 2019 and 2020, I have heard a vocal that I call the man yell. And so, and I, on my episode of my Bigfoot sighting, I do that, the vocal, like I just did. It's this man's sort of like deep voice, and it's like, ah, like that, but it's loud and it echoes. And so then as I've been listening to the Pork and Beans show, and they're very into that, the tree people are very much connected to the heart. And then I just had this like almost realization, like, okay, wow. Okay. So this vocal that I heard in Georgia and in Montana, totally two different locations, was the same. And I heard this ah sound in two different parts of Georgia and then in Montana. So the same tone, the same exact length, and it corresponds to the sound that you make when you're tuning to the heart chakra. And I'm like, oh my God, wow. Okay. I think I might've like learned something here.
Yeah.
Like just a sudden like download of like them teaching me or something, you know, like uh-huh. Through listen to the Pork and Beans show, be looking at your color and sound book. And then, oh my God, wow. So I think there could be something with that, and I don't know if that makes any sense of what I'm talking about.
Oh, I like it. I think that does make sense. I think it's the right place, okay. Right time, and the perfect piece of information to fill in another piece of the puzzle.
Yes. So that was amazing to me, and I'm excited to see where that will continue to go with that little extra little I don't know, information or whatever about the heart and the heart chakra and that tone of what they're doing. And I mean, there was a couple people that have been able to say to me that that they've heard something similar, but like when I was deciding that I wanted to learn this subject of the Sasquatch people, I wanted it to be in my own way. I decided I'm going to use my own inner senses, my own way, and see if I can connect the way I want to, you know, not by, okay, you know, I don't want to know, I don't want to go on at that time. I'm like, I'm not going to go find out the ways that people are connecting with them, I guess. After a while though, then, you know, I learned more about people hitting, the trees and how, you know, doing the certain sounds out there. And then they respond. I just wanted to do it my own way. And so, and then through my own way, I started having experiences. And then you find your people that also have your experiences, or you learn from them with, you know, in your same realm of understanding or whatever. So it's been really fun. I mean, it's like you're a kid and you find out that, you know, these things that you, when you're a kid and there's fairies and unicorns and dragons and then, you know, then it just is really neat. To me, I associate all that with the Sasquatch people. It's like, they're alive. They're real. How amazing.
Have you had any communication telepathically? Because that was my experience.
Okay, so I have had times where I will, it's that thing where it's like your own thought, but it's a sudden instant thought that something you hadn't thought of before to do or to think about.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so I feel like I've learned from them that way. And then there was a time where one of my experiences where I was in Paris Mountain State Park in upstate South Carolina at a campground campsite. And I was hearing like a owl call in one area of the forest, and then like the response call of the same species of owl in a completely different point in the forest. And then there was like another species of owl call in a completely different point. And then the same like response call. So like north, south, east, west, way away from each other, calling out to each other kind of thing. And I was like, oh, wow. And all of a sudden they're all like a bunch of this oh sounds like right out from my campsite, way up in the trees. And then inside those vocalings, I heard almost even more of like a primate like or primal man like vocaling. And I was like, whoa. And it pulled me. I started walking towards, and it was fascinating. And then I was like, well, there's nowhere I can go. I can go straight, but then it'll take me downhill, not up. They were up in the trees. You know, it wasn't like clanging around or wings flap of a bunch of, I mean, and then you find out that owls don't do that type thing. I'm like, wow. So it just makes it even more interesting, you know, more about verifying, like, wow. Okay. So right after that, I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta call a friend and like tell them about this experience. This is amazing. And I checked my voicemail for some reason. Like, I don't like, it was like right before I called him or right after, I can't remember. But, and as I was, when you go into your phone and you push your, what do you call it? Your code or whatever to get to your voicemail. And right before the first new voicemail started, I heard this man's voice say the word renegade. And it was such a, almost like a advertising call type voice. Just very, a monotone-ish renegade. And I was like, whoa, what was that? And so I went back, I hung up, I go back, I checked all my saved voicemails, not there, not there, not there, not there. And then here comes the new voicemail and it wasn't there. So was it their way of like speaking to me where I'm thinking I'm listening to my phone, but it's actually they were actually just speaking in my head, like a microphone in my head. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sounds really interesting.
Yes. And so because that's one of my abilities or ways that I've heard message is like I literally hear the person or the being's voice like there is a microphone in the middle of my head.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. That does make sense. And those instances are kind of fun. And people who have, when they have PSI experiences, psychic experiences, and say they get tired of hearing what other people are thinking because it's like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Occasionally, I've had these experiences as well. One time, I was working with a producer when I was doing the show for Empower Radio and told him he needed to go back and edit out the part where he said something about Jesus Christ, okay? And I said, you need to enter that. You go back and edit that. He was quiet, and he said, I didn't say that out loud.
And, oh, my God, yes!
And the microphone wasn't on. So there's no way that could have happened. But I was just, I thought, oh my gosh, that's on the recording. We have to get that out of there. And so that one made the rounds of the people who were at that point working for Empower. It got back to the guy, Brent, and they were quite amused. I'm like, I have no idea how or why, but I my sense is it was so loud, and he was so at that point, whatever it was, frustrated that I picked up on it. And
amazing,
yeah. But so those things do happen.
I actually, as you were saying that, I do have a memory of something else like that. I was at my spiritual. I went to a spiritual study school, and it'll still be my spiritual study school forever because I will keep going back there. Delphi University. In North Georgia. And I was there for a round of different classes. I was there for the first time for a month, and I was walking around in one of the buildings that is, it looks like a house, and so people who stay there for longer period of time, it's like a kind of a hotel, kind of a, you know, Airbnb, but you're there so that you can like immerse yourself and really get into your classes. So I was walking around in the house. I had heard that Arthur Ford, who was a known medium back in the day, that he has been seen walking around in the house. And I was like, oh, wow, cool. I want to see if I can go meet him. And so no one was in the house at all. And I'm just kind of tuning in and looking around and taking it in. It's a neat house. And I was in near the front door. And all of a sudden, I heard in my head, my instructor, one of the instructors, tell me something. Like, say a whole sentence to me. Like, it was him. It was his voice. He was telling me something. And he was way over in a different town. And I'm over here in the house. And I was like, whoa. And I even like stuck my arms out like, what? Like, cause I was like responding to him in my head, like, oh, wow. I didn't know that, you know, type responding to him or whatever. I haven't actually asked him, or talked to him about that because it was kind of a touchy, sensitive, you know, subject. So maybe he was just doing it from afar because he was shy or embarrassed or whatever. I don't know, but it was a trip. Like that was a first for me, that particular experience, you know? Yeah. So, but you had it, how far, like, were you states away?
I'm in the middle, in the heartland, and he's way up East Coast. So no, we were separated. And again, he would have had his microphone open for me to have heard that. And that wasn't happening. So there was no microphone. He didn't say it out loud, and he was appalled because then he was worried I might be listening to other things that he was thinking.
Right. Yes. You could tell when people start getting a little bit uncomfortable, like, okay.
I've had it happen a few times, and it is, aww, it's inconvenient when it happens and there's somebody who's your boss or something nearby and you realize, oh, okay, that I don't need this information. My husband, he was walking through the house and he was thinking about, I don't remember what context, but I knew he was looking for his billfold, and I thought that he had said it out loud, and he hadn't. And so, you know, occasionally those things happen, and there's nothing that, there's no control. And that was when I talked with Gary Wimmer, who went psychic full boat and said, this has to stop, and told his guides, please make it stop. I can't deal with this, because he was getting it all the time. And it was overwhelming, and it's very distracting, and you don't want other people's thoughts. It's just, you know, it's they're busy. They're too busy.
he was full open. Like, yeah, he was like wide open.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Gary, so he's an interesting case.
Okay. What's his name?
Gary Wimmer.
Okay. I'll definitely look it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Check him out.
But those things do happen, and when you don't have a way to shut it off, then you have to figure out, okay, how do I do a workaround? Fortunately, mine is intermittent, so I'm not too concerned about it. But yeah, you don't know when it's going to happen, and usually it's when people are most of the times that I've had it happen, people are very caught up in their own thoughts, and so they're focusing very hard on something. And I was doing, somebody was testing it was like a trivia game. And I realized that there are some people who are good at sending and others who are good at receiving. And I was a good receiver because this guy was telegraphing the answers. And as we're playing this little trivia game, I had the answers that I didn't know. And so I'm responding with the answers. And I realized later, because they're saying, wow, you're really smart. And I'm thinking, No, because at first I didn't know what was happening. I just knew I had the answer. And then I realized about four or five questions into it, oh my gosh, he's sitting there with the answer on his little quiz sheet and he's telegraphing that answer and I'm receiving it. And so that was something that was, to me, it was like, wow. Again, though, I'm not real close to this person. And so there, you know, that's not a problem now.
Yeah.
But in that case, I realized that when people are super focused, then you can pick up those thoughts and it's really not that difficult.
Okay. So I am able to, when people are sharing with me about their lives, I'm able to receive, the solution or what to do about it, or that missing, it's almost like I can see behind their blind spot. I can offer help. Mm-hmm. I can, and then, you know, there was a time frame in my life where when I was doing all the online dating, and then you just meet a lot of different guys. And so I would listen and I was able to, and I can just think about this one particular where he's sharing some stuff and then I'm like, well, you know, I don't know. I'm just going to make up something. I was like, well, all you need to do is, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it was too much for him. Like, you know, sometimes people are going to say their thing, but they're not really, they're saying the thing, but they don't really have any interest at that moment to actually do anything about it or whatever.
Right.
So I have that happen all the time. And I'm very happy to say that I have been able to, the people who are in that time and in a moment where they are truly wanting help, or and then I offer the solution, or I mean, I give them the suggestion, or here's that tool, and then I say, if you are in a place where you are ready and wanting to have it here, and then if they apply it, then wow, it really helps them in their life. So I'm very thankful to be able to do that with this. Like I call it like a precognition, or I can see down the path far. Sometimes I call it really good deductive reasoning. Like it's almost what you were saying about the kind of with the, you're able to know the answer, through him, like basically telling you the answer.
He's telegraphing. You know, basically he's telegraphing because he is so clear that mind, the way he was focused at the time, it was just crystal clear. And so there I have the answer, Minneapolis. I'm like, there's no way in heck I would ever have known those answers. No,
Was you actually hearing his voice?
I didn't hear the voice. I heard not to my knowledge did I hear that.
It was just knowing all of a sudden.
Yeah, it was the imprint of here's the answer and almost like seeing it as a word.
Okay, yeah.
So,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, so it wasn't, that's why it's that telepathic, it's sending and receiving, and people do that, and they've tested people in many countries who also do this kind of research and are interested in psychic abilities and PSI awareness. This stuff has been going on for years. And, you know, unless you're plugged into those circles, then you're not always conscious of it. But the Psychic Research Society, the Rhine Group, there's just so much data saying that we do have the ability to be telepathic. We just don't practice it. And like this, I didn't know I could do that. I had no idea. All of a sudden I had these answers and I realized what was happening. It's like, oh my gosh, he is a sender because he's clear in his thoughts and he's able to focus. And that's a lot of times what we don't know that is helpful is that we have to clear our mind and focus on one thing. And the yes. clearer you are in your thoughts with the less buzz going on around it of, you know, doubt or being distracted about something else, like in The Matrix, there goes the woman in red. Ha, 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 gotcha. Okay, that's yes. distraction. And it works really well.
Right. Yes, you've slowed your thoughts down. Yeah, all that. Exactly. And then here's an opposite was I was watching these two little girls, these cute little girls, when the mom and dad were at work, one was, I think she was, I don't know, I'm going to say she was maybe 6 at the time. And the other one was 5 or somewhere in there. And when you just, okay, so you described it. I was sitting at the table and there were these like 4 or 5 little, Super Bowls, you know, like the kind that you bounce and they go, and they bounce really high, mm-hmm. and they were colored. And I don't even know why I thought this, but in my mind, I thought the one little girl, I can't remember her name, but she was also at the same time opening the sliding door to come into the house. And as she was going past me, I thought, I wonder what color ball she likes. Why would I care? I don't know why I thought that. She turns and says, I like the red one. And then she kept running. And I was like, whoa, I didn't say that out loud. That's amazing. So there you go. That was trippy.
And she heard it.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
She totally heard it. And she had no idea she was just going about life and had no concept that that wasn't strange or weird. It was just a communication. So she was responding and it kept on going to continue playing.
Yeah. 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 See, that I think happens more than we realize. For one thing, we aren't always able to connect the dots. We don't. And I think with children, when they see ghosts and they see and pets, same thing. When they see things that the humans around them are not aware of, they don't always know that not everyone else is clued into this reality. And it's only telegraphed to them from the adults who are going and on about their business without having any kind of response or indication that they're aware of the elephant in the room. That's
right.
Another thing, because my pets pick up on stuff. And so sometimes I'll just say, as the dog is barking at the corner of the room where there is absolutely nothing, there's no outside noise, there's somebody there who's, you know, out and about. And hi, thanks for dropping in. Leave a note.
That's so cool. I love that.
Well, but you don't always know that this is what's it takes a while to, for me in any way, it took a while to figure out that there were some other things happening. And when the dog goes absolutely nuts at the ceiling and then yeah. I realize, okay, somebody's visiting, then that makes sense. Or there's somebody who walks through the room and I actually do have a chance to realize that this entity walked through and then the cat is looking and, you know, and has the cat's attention. Thank you, kitty cat, whichever one it happens to be. I've had many, many cats who help me with this because they're giving me corroboration that what I saw was real.
Yes, that's fun. It is very fun. I mean, you know, it's happening, but when someone, whether it's your friend as a human or your friend as a pet,
yeah,
and they participate with you, you're like, wow, cool. We just had a fun little moment together. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, exactly. We don't have the same kind of training in this area that I think is beginning to happen more frequently as people are becoming more conscious of these other abilities and they just happen to stumble into it by listening to a podcast or seeing a film or having a friend who says, wow, this is what I can do. Did you know we could do this? You know, the friend who enlightens you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of what I remember in my learnings of abilities is that you will find out you have an ability by it happening all of a sudden. Like, oh, wow, okay, I have that ability too. How cool is that? It kind of reminds me of the superhero movies where all of a sudden they're like shooting fire out of their fingertip or something.
Yes,
and they're like, oh, wow, like, I didn't know I could do that. And then it happens.
Yay. Well, I was taking a class, and this is a new one. I've had out-of-body experiences before. And so it's that I know happens, but I was wanting to focus a little bit more on making them intentional. And so I signed up for the class with William Buhlman, who I think is fantastic. He's wonderful. I really like the way he teaches. I like the way he approaches it, his beliefs. And he, at one point I interviewed him a few years back. He has books out, so you can check this out yourself. But I decided, okay, I'll go ahead and sign up for a course just because maybe this will help me focus and make a plan and stick to it.
Like learning how to do it on purpose. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so I have gone through, I kind of went through quickly overviewed cheating ahead, kind of skimmed. And then I did a couple of the things that he suggested. Okay. So I wasn't having any luck. Okay. So last night, out of the blue, all of a sudden I'm half asleep, half awake, and I'm mostly awake. And then I realize when I open my eyes, I am not where I thought I was because the entire room, there's no room. It's black. It's completely, totally pitch black, beyond black. And I realize, oh, this is not the space I thought I was in. Where's the room? Because usually there's a light coming through the curtain and I have a night light. So something, and I'm like, so I shut my eyes very quickly thinking, that wasn't familiar. Open my eyes again. It's gone. And then I realized, oh shoot, I was in the void. So I basically skipped the OBE, went right into the black void where I've been before. And I thought, oh, darn. It was kind of like the Cliff Note version, you know?
Yes. Okay. So kind of, it also kind of reminds me or makes me think about remote viewing a little bit in some way, like remote viewing is it remote viewing or is it actually being there? Because I have had, like, since I was a little kid, I don't know how many times it's happened, but my eyes are closed. And then all of a sudden through the darkness of my eyes being closed, it's almost like when you see through binoculars, so it's like this round vision opens up, and I realize I'm looking at something. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around at it, and when I'm having it, I'm knowing that it's happening, and I'm like being with it in the moment, like fascinated, like wow, I'm looking at something, like I'm looking at a scene, or I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Like
Had
that,
yeah.
So I had that, and then was it a lucid dreaming, or was I having a lot of the teachings are that when we sleep, we go travel, and our consciousness leaves our bodies and we go travel and go to places. And so there was this time where I'm like all of a sudden somewhere else, and I'm standing in front of a dirt bank, and there's like maybe a little tree on the left, and then way to the right is another tree, and then that's it. It's just this dirt bank, and then all of a sudden this like ground squirrel just goes running across, and I was like, whoa, it was like I was there. So then I thought, and I thought of this, why that? Why something so just very average, like, you know, like, you know, so I've had that experience.
I think so average is safe.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Thank you. You're right. I'm okay. You're right. It's not like I'm all of a sudden in the middle of, you know, I've heard of stories where when you're practicing or you purposely want to have an out of body experience or you accidentally have an out-of-body experience, and then all of a sudden there's a not good presence around you or whatever. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, don't want that. Well, and the best the explanation I had for that was a woman who taught, and she said, look, you're going to, when you leave your body and you're practicing seeing into the black void or whatever, and it is around you, then don't be frightened by what you see, because these same beings and entities are around you. You just don't see them. And if they had any ability to hurt you or harm you, then that would have already happened. So just get over it and go to the next level, because you're just getting beyond what's already here on your surface level of OBE. And if that's there, then it isn't meant to frighten you. So just stop being afraid of your own shadow for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, it definitely helps knowing what to be prepared for. And so if when it happens for you again, you'll know, okay, this is where I'm at. But I mean, I've done it where when I was at the beginnings of wanting to connect with a spirit guide, and I was following the instructions of this little inner sort of journey that she was telling me how to do, where you close your eyes, you do some breathe in and out a few, 5-6 times to sort of relax yourself. And then she said to imagine a special place that you like going to, a sacred place. So I was imagining, she said just to do that. And then she said, okay, then if you see, somebody coming towards you, it could be a light coming towards you. What do they look like? Kind of giving you little outlines of what to expect. And then maybe they have a gift for you. And what is the gift? What is the message? This kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, I would love to be able to connect with spirit guides. This was back in 2007. I was like, okay. And then at the same time too, I wanted to learn how to use my abilities on purpose also. Like, what are all my abilities? And I would like to use them for some amazing things for myself in life and to connect with spirit guides and other, non-physicals, help them maybe learn from the space, go to places, all that stuff. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to try this out. I imagined my years of playing extreme sports where you're super focused. You're like, you are super one track mind, mm-hmm. just focusing on the ball or whatever. And I just imagined that super concentration. I did my breathing. I was laying sort of propped on my back, like with pillows behind my head, like propped up a little bit on my bed. And then I thought of my sacred space. I was sitting up against the redwood tree in the Santa Cruz Mountains in my visualization. And all of a sudden, like literally this was in like, it took within 30 seconds. I saw like this movie strip play out, like as if I was literally there. A bear walked in front of me, and then a buck, and then a deer. And then like in those moments, when you're having, I started to come out of it, right? Like when you were saying, like you opened your eyes mm-hmm. and you saw like black and you're like, whoa. And so it sort of took you out of it. So as I was starting to come out of it and like come back, just to myself, I heard a man's voice say the word guarded. And I realized that after that was the first time that I wonder if maybe I've heard this before, but I wasn't giving it any like recognition, because I think that we do that a lot of us in the world where it's not our five physical senses. So we have a hard time like processing that it actually happened. So I don't know, but I heard this man's voice. He said guarded. And that was sort of this amazing experience of realizing, oh, wow, I can hear, I get to have a connection through seeing visualizations and hearing a message. But yeah, it took me out quick, right? I came back out of my concentration because the experience happened. That was the whole point.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
It's like, congratulations, that's slam dunk. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, I got a message, and then that kind of takes me through my life of the enjoyment of connecting through the shamanic way. And so I feel like it was a more of a shamanic experience, because when you do like a shamanic journeying, it was kind of like what I did, but it was a combination between shamanic journeying and meeting a spirit guide. So that was really neat.
Hey, you've got a YouTube channel, so for anyone who's listening, where to connect with you? Because isn't Exploring the Paranormal with Tricia?
Exploring the Paranormal with Tricia Brown. You can watch some of my videos there where I just feel spontaneously feeling like I want to tell some of my stories. So I'll be walking out on a trail or doing something, and I'm just usually dressed like super casual or whatever, with my hair up in a bun or messy hair or whatever. And I'll just sort of share some stuff, and it's just fun. So that's a way to, if you want to go there, or you can find me on Facebook too. Also you can look me up at Tricia, T-R-I-C-I-A Brown, B-R-O-W-N, Free Spirit. And right now my picture is of a profile of a Sasquatch.
Yes. Which is cool. Uh-huh. Yeah. Hey, thank you. Thank you for sharing. And, you know, we're going to have to check back in with you when you go on another trip and see what the rocks are saying next time.
Okay. Sounds good.
The links are in the description for the show, so you can check in with Tricia and see where she's gone next. Thanks for listening.